Welcome to the Eurovision Travel Guide. In this monthly series, we explore a country in the Eurovision Song Contest, learning about some of their entries, their national selection methods, and some other noteworthy points. This month, we are taking a look at Moldova. This is ESC 101. Buna diminata, buna dupa, amiaza, buna sara. Bun venit la SS 101, casa te istori, shops corita sia Eurovision. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. Welcome to episode 29. My name is Alexander. As I continue to struggle with foreign languages, I apologize to anyone who speaks any level of Romanian. I hope to at least bring a taste of the languages of Eurovision, even if I'm not fluent in most of them. Moldova is an interesting country, both historically and in Eurovision. Unlike Russia and the Baltic countries, Moldova only joined Eurovision in 2005. They are a decently successful country and are home to one of the most viral Eurovision memes of all time, the Epic Sax Guy, which I look forward to discussing later in this episode. Of course, with a majority of these Eurovision Travel Guide episodes, I will not be commenting on every single entry that Moldova has sent, otherwise we will be here for several hours. However, if you are curious to hear about every single Moldovan entry up to 2022, you should check out the Eurovision Forever project by the Douze Point podcast. Jack Eaton, the former co-host, and Elizabeth Allen, the current host of the Douze Point podcast, started a pandemic lockdown project reviewing every single Eurovision entry from 1956 to 2022. I'll leave a link to the Moldova episodes for you to check out. With that being said, let's dive into the history of Moldova at Eurovision. Moldova, known officially as the Republic of Moldova, is a former Soviet state nestled in Eastern Europe, bordering Romania to the west and Ukraine to the north, east, and south. Moldova also contains the unrecognized state of Transnistria, which claims territory between the Dniester River and the Ukrainian border. Transnistria isn't recognized by any UN member, and only two other unrecognized states recognize it. According to Moldova, the territory is known as the Administrative Territorial Units of the Left Bank of the Dniester. I'll get into that in the Soviet portion of Moldovan history. Moldova has a population of around 2.5 million people, with a land area of around 33,842 square kilometers, or around 13,067 square miles. The capital is Chisinau, home to many parks and museums, including an opera and ballet theater. Moldova is not a member of the European Union or the Schengen Zone, and they do not use the euro. Instead, they use the Moldavian leu. One Canadian dollar is worth about 13 leu. One US dollar is 18. One Australian dollar is also 18. One euro is 19. And £1 sterling is 22. My apologies if I don't list your local currency, but you get the idea. To put those numbers into context, a standard 500-gram package of spaghetti goes for around 19 leu, so basically a euro, which I feel is pretty reasonable. Perhaps I should add spaghetti as a way to translate foreign currencies. Moldova joined the United Nations in 1992, however, as part of the Soviet Union, it was an original member. Looking at Moldova's history, it is extremely complicated. Not in the sense of it being long, I'm sure all 52 Eurovision countries have extremely complicated histories in that sense, but rather Moldova's history gets entangled with other countries like Poland, Romania, Russia, and Turkey. I'm going to try my best to explain Moldova's history without going into other countries' histories, so let's get started. Moldova's position in Europe made it a prime target for invasions, and it was repeatedly invaded during the first 1,000 years of the Common Era. Whether it was the Romans, Byzantines, Goths, Magyars, Mongols, or the Hungarians, Moldova's early history is full of switchovers and general shenanigans. So to simplify things, I'm starting Moldova's history with the Principality of Moldavia. Established in the mid-14th century, this principality was formed as a result of Dragos Voda, a military leader, moving to the eastern border of Hungary's territory to establish a line of defense against the Golden Horde, a Mongol khanate, which results in creating a polity vassal to the Hungarian kingdom. Its independence would be established in 1359 when Bogdan, who was not favored by the King of Hungary, crossed into the Carpathian Mountains and took control of the region, removing Moldavia from Hungarian control. Over the next 500 years, Moldavia would shift its alliances and status across various European powers, becoming a vassal state of the Grand Duke of Lithuania in 1387, then becoming a vassal state to the Ottoman Empire and being partially fragmented by the Habsburg Empire in 1775. Most of the land which comprises modern Moldova was transferred to the Russian Empire in 1812 and renamed Bessarabia as a result of the Russo-Turkish War of 1806 to 1812. Local leaders petitioned for self-rule and civil government based on Moldavian traditions, and in 1818 the region was designated a special autonomous region, with Romanian and Russian serving as official languages. In the 1820s, the region lacked strong leadership, and fearing the rise of nationalist sentiments, Emperor Nicholas I campaigned for reforms of the Western territories, retracting their autonomous status in 1829 by creating a new constitution by the governor of Bessarabia. In the 1830s, the Romanian language was banned in schools, government facilities, books, the press, and churches, despite 80% of the population being Romanian. Those who resisted were threatened with banishment to Siberia, and in 1854, Russian was made the sole official language of Moldova. Russian integration continued throughout the 19th century, with some local leaders protesting against the reforms, especially the reduction of their own powers, but due to a lack of organization, they were largely ignored. There were some leaders whose families were integrated into the Russian nobility, but most nobles were foreigners to begin with. Parts of southern Bessarabia were returned to what remained of Moldavia in 1856 under the terms of the Treaty of Paris. Moldavia joined with neighboring Wallachia to form Romania in 1856. However, this didn't last long, as Russia played the take-backsies card and reclaimed southern Bessarabia, claiming that the territory was ceded to Moldavia. And since Moldavia doesn't exist anymore, that means that Russia gets to get their land back. This is why you write in a clause to include successor states when dealing with geopolitical treaties. Names and borders change all the time. Of course, Romania was outraged, but apparently no one in Europe wanted to risk a conflict with Russia and ignored the whole issue. Thank goodness Europe cares now. Bessarabia continued as part of Russia until 1917, when Russia imploded into a revolution. Taking advantage of the chaos, a group of citizens and soldiers gathered together to call for political autonomy. This Congress of Citizens gathered enough support in the region to break away from Russia and proclaim the Moldavian Democratic Republic, which lasted for less than half a year. On December 15, 1917, the Republic was established, and by February 6, 1918, independence was officially proclaimed with the Romanian army stepping in to remove Bolshevik forces. 2 months later, on April 9, 1918, the Governing Council entered the Republic into a union with Romania, and by December 10, after a secret council meeting, they decided to just fully integrate into Romania and became part of the Kingdom of Romania. Determined to regain their territory, the Bolsheviks created an autonomous republic called the Moldavian Autonomous Soviet Socialist Republic in 1924, which comprised the land of modern-day Transnistria as well as parts of modern-day Ukraine. This was a completely artificial political creation to basically create a buffer zone between Romania and the Ukrainian SSR to try and create a favorable condition to project influence upon the former Bessarabian territory. In 1940, the Soviet Union issued an ultimatum to Romania, demanding the immediate secession of Bessarabia. Italy and Germany, who wanted Romania to avoid conflict so they could keep access to its oil fields, pressured Romania into complying, and they did so. Remember, the Soviet Union has not entered the Second World War at this point. On August 2, 1940, the Moldavian Soviet Socialist Republic, also known as the Moldavian SSR, was established. And on the same date, the Moldavian Autonomous Soviet Socialist Republic was disbanded, as the Soviets got what they wanted, and there was no need for a Moldavian and a Moldavian Autonomous SSR. It's fascinating that Transnistria is basically the revived remnants of the Autonomous SSR, as they continue to act very autonomous. Transnistria even keeps the Moldavian SSR flag as their own. This new Moldavian SSR was briefly interrupted by Romania. Wanting revenge over being forced to give up land because Russia told you to do so, Romania joined the Axis powers, and as part of their invasion of the Soviet Union under Operation Barbarossa, Romania regained Bessarabia. However, Soviets managed to recapture the territory in 1944 and re-establish the Moldavian SSR. Of course, mass deportations took place during the 1940s, which, while not directly related to Ukraine's winning Eurovision entry in 2016, is basically akin to the central theme of the song. After the Second World War, the Soviet government promoted the immigration of Russian-speaking people to live in the urbanized areas to compensate for the loss of life during the war, and to help develop scientific and industrial facilities. The Soviets also campaigned to promote a distinct Moldovan ethnic identity to distinguish themselves from Romanians, basing their theories on those developed within the Moldavian Autonomous SSR. I'm straying into political territory, as some people see the Moldovan identity as completely artificial and instead equate themselves to ethnic Romanians, while others support Moldovan identities rooted in Moldavian and Bessarabian history. I am probably the least qualified person to even attempt to pick a side, so I'm going to move on to the dissolution of the Soviet Union. In 1989, the Soviet Union began to break down, and the parliament of the Moldovan SSR declared Moldova as the official language of the region, asserting the existence of a Moldovan-Romanian linguistic identity. By 1991, the Soviet Union was in the process of collapsing, and on August 27, 1991, Moldova declared independence. However, it wasn't granted until December 26, when the Soviet Union officially dissolved. Before Moldovan independence, pro-Soviet separatists who hoped to stay within the Soviet Union as Moldova's calls for independence grew, decided to create their own state called the Pridnestrovian Moldavian Soviet Socialist Republic. This eventually led to the Transnistria War, which ran from 1990 to 1992. Again, I'm being careful not to stray into current conflicts, but essentially this region has a level of practical autonomy, but it's internationally recognized as part of Moldova. And that brings us to the Moldova we know today. Basically, if you want a 10-second recap of what I just said, it goes: Romans, Mongols, Hungarians, Ottomans, Russians, Romanians, Russians, Romanians, Russians, and Moldova. Easy, right? In terms of Moldova at Eurovision, they followed a path that was totally different from all of their neighbors. Similar to Poland, Moldova never intended to join Eurovision following its independence. I couldn't find a reason why, and some of the sources I found contained conflicting information. According to the Wikipedia page for the EBU, Moldova joined in 1993, along with all the other former Soviet states. However, in a journal article entitled Eurovision Song Contest and Identity Crisis in Moldova, published in the Nationalities Papers Journal 2015, written by Julian Dinero Iglesias, on page 236 he says, quote, Moldova first participated in 2005, directly after Moldovan National Television joined the EBU in 2004. There is no source for this specific sentence, so I don't know if Moldova joined the EBU in 1993 or 2004, but I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Wikipedia article. According to the Wikipedia article, Moldova joined the European Broadcasting Union with Teleradio Moldova in 1993. They have participated in Eurovision every year since debut, participating 18 times. Moldova has made it to the grand final on 13 occasions, failing to qualify in 2008, 2014 to 2016, and 2019. In the grand final, they've reached the top 10 on 5 occasions, with 3rd place being their best result in 2017. However, they did reach 2nd place in the semifinal in 2005 and 2017, and 3rd place in the semifinal in 2018. They have never finished last in the grand final, however they did place last in the semifinal in 2014 with just 13 points. At least they don't have any null points. Moldova has sent their entries in either Romanian, English, or both. Only 3 entries, 2013, 2022, and 2023, were purely Romanian, while 2005 and 2009 were a mix of both Romanian and English, with the remainder of their entries being in English, including their upcoming entry for 2024. Moldova has had several returning artists. Zdob C. Zdob has represented Moldova 3 times in 2005, 2011, and 2022, featuring the Advahov brothers. Natalia Gordienko, who was part of the 2006 entry, returned as a solo artist in 2021. Natalia Barbu, who represented Moldova in 2007, is set to return in 2024. Sunstroke Project, the band who represented Moldova in 2010 alongside Olia Tira, returned in 2017 without Olia. Pasha Parfene, who represented Moldova in 2012, returned as a backing performer in 2013 and as a solo artist in 2023. And Aliona Moon, who was a backing vocalist for Moldova's entry in 2012, returned in 2013 as a solo artist. It's fascinating that so far all entrants in the 2020s have been returning artists. I'm curious to see if that trend will continue in 2025. Moldova debuted at the Eurovision Song Contest in 2005, using a national final called O Melody Pentru Europa 2005, translated as A Song for Europe 2005. Another generic naming scheme. Hooray! In this national final, 35 entries were submitted and a 4-person jury shortlisted the selection to 15 entries. The national final used a 50-50 voting system with Millennium's entry Tablo Pe Stikla gaining 12 points from the jury but only getting 5 points from the televote, while Jadob Si Jadob got 10 points from the jury and 12 points from the televote. They, of course, went on to represent Moldova at Eurovision with their song Bunica Bate Doba. This entry is iconic for several reasons. Moldova did well on debut, placing second in the semi-final and sixth in the grand final. They were smart to wait until 2005 to debut, as I imagine that they would have been lost amongst all the countries joining in 1993 and 1994. This entry is also referenced in the 2016 interval act Love, Love, Peace, Peace, where Petra mentions drums as one of the keys to a winning Eurovision entry, and she mentions that using a grandmother to play the drum is a good idea, which is directly referencing the grandmother figure on stage in this entry. When I first looked at this entry, I thought the sash on the main singer was nicely designed. Then I looked closer and realized it was literally painted onto his chest. The detail in that design is incredible, and the song itself is fantastic. It's energetic, and I know nothing about Moldovan culture, so I hope this song has some kind of representation because it sounds Eastern in the best way possible. 2006 rolls around and they use the same national final, however there is additional complication and controversy. This edition of the national final ended up taking place over 3 rounds. The first round was a quote-unquote semi-final consisting of 25 entries, 13 of which would qualify to a final based on votes from an expert jury. The winner of the final would be determined by a 50-50 split between the jury and the public. However, in the final, there were 3 entries that ended up receiving the same score because of the conversion of votes into the Eurovision-style point system. 3 entries ended up getting 18 points each, and in any sensible world in the event of a tie, the winner would be chosen based on whoever got the most points, either in the jury or the televote. However, Moldova's broadcaster decided to pull a Clifford Brown and refused to pick a winner. The tie-breaking rule was supposed to use an additional expert jury vote, no idea what was wrong with the original one, and if that didn't work, they just picked the entry that gained the highest score from the youngest member of the jury. Despite song number 13, Geta Burklau's Zi Lauta, getting the most jury votes with 72 compared to 67 and 63 for the other 2 tying entries, the jury couldn't pick a winner using either tie-breaking rule. Instead, Moldova just threw out the entire national final and did a redo with completely new songs except for one. The original 3 entries that tied for first place were invited to re-compete in a new second final, only one of which decided to take up the offer. 8 valid entries were received by the broadcaster between February 26th and March 14th of 2006. For some dumb reason, the jury narrowed the selection down to 5 entries. Why didn't they just let all 8 entries compete? I will never understand. Of course, following the broadcaster's decision to just throw out the entire national final, one of the producers of Moldstar and Alexa's song Sing Your Song, which won neither the jury nor the televote but still managed to tie overall, ended up criticizing the broadcaster. And on March 2nd, the producer of the 4th place entry, or 2nd place depending on how you classify the 3-way tie, ended up petitioning the government of Moldova to step in, arguing that the broadcaster violated the rules as agreed to by the participants, requesting a repeat of the original final with new jury members. His petition was based on the alleged accusation that the broadcaster was interfering with the results to send the preferred entrant. Of course, this is an alleged accusation of jury rigging, so I'm not making any claims of tampering. However, looking at this on a surface, failing to simply pick the jury winner is highly suspicious, as there was a clear jury winner from the very first final. There is a website that is linked to the Wikipedia page for Moldova's 2006 selection process. However, that website has no official links, and I can't confirm whether the information on there is accurate. There is an alleged statement from the broadcaster, which essentially argued that the youngest jury member didn't want to have the responsibility of picking the winner, which, depending on their age, I can partially sympathize with. However, if you're on a jury, you should be agreeing to a set of rules, and if you can't abide by that agreement, you shouldn't serve on a jury. There were so many ways to resolve this. Picking the entry with the highest jury score, the highest televote score, do a super final of the top three and vote again, redo the entire original national final with new jury members. Seriously, the list of options is endless. The absolute last resort is to throw away the entire national final. No one should ever, ever do that. There is no scenario in my mind where that's acceptable. But that's what Moldova did, and the second national final went on. Serge Krusenov's entry, Made in Moldova, was one of the winning entries from the first final, and he ended up placing second in the new final, both in the jury and the public vote. The new winner was the entry that ended up going to Eurovision in 2006, Arsenium and Natalia Gordienko featuring Connect R with the song Loca.
Every time I see Miloka, I feel I go crazy with Baka. She's so sexy, she's so hot. Every night is breaking my heart.
Say it, baby.
Hey, every time I see me loco, I realize crazy and vocal. Hell, I'm dancing all night long. But my boy, I will never be alone.
Hey, loca, give me your boca. You're my girl, you're my loca. You are breaking my heart.
I had to listen to the other entries of the second final, and some songs got me kind of bopping along, but honestly, they were also poorly produced, and perhaps it was the audio quality that I had, but none of these songs wowed me. This includes Loca, which has the advantage of being on the Eurovision stage. This auto-qualified to the final because of the dumb auto-qualifying rule that they had at the time, so this song, which probably would not have qualified out of the semis, ended up placing 20th. I can think of several countries that had better entries than Moldova that year, including Belgium, Albania, and Slovenia. I'll even throw in Iceland just for the memes, but this is a mess of nonsense. None of this appeals to me. The song is flat, the performance is uncoordinated, and the fashion is just boring. Of course, you may recognize Natalia Gordienko, but we'll return to her a little later on. 2007 rolls around, and the broadcaster decides to internally select their entry, which I think is a terrible idea given the accusations of 2006. But rather than call it an internal selection, they'll give it a shiny name called Pentru Eurovision 2007. They had some really strange rules this time around. Both artists and songwriters needed to be of Moldovan nationality, which I can understand to some degree, but artists were required to fully fund their participation in Eurovision should they be selected, with the broadcaster only covering the entrance fee set by the EBU. However, if the artist placed in the top 10, all the expenses would be covered by the broadcaster instead. So it's basically, if you suck, you get to pay for it, but if you're great, then it's on us. That's really bizarre to me. 35 entries were initially received by the broadcaster, with 34 being placed into an initial first round. One of the entries was disqualified for unknown reasons. The original idea of the first round was to shortlist the 34 entries down to somewhere between 7 and 10 entries, which is also bizarre. Why can't they just pick a single number? But apparently this was too much for the jury members, as they only ended up shortlisting 3 entries due to the large margin between the top 3 and the rest of the entries. I suppose why bother wasting time debating songs that are so far below the top 3? The second round was a live audition, and they ended up selecting Natalia Barbu's song entitled Fight.
Believing,
The song is okay. It feels generic, but perhaps it's 2007 being 17 years ago that it feels dated to me. There are plenty of 2007 songs that I love, including Serbia, Ukraine, Belarus, Greece, Andorra, the list just goes on. But this song doesn't interest me. And while I'm reserving my thoughts on Natalia's return for a future episode, I'm not holding my breath. From 2008 to 2019, Moldova returned to their original national final format, O Melody Pentru Europa, changing the year as needed. However, they did try a few combinations of rules and voting systems over the years. Every year, artists would submit songs to a jury panel, which would shortlist them down to a selected number of entrants. This number varied per year, with some years having one or two semifinals or a direct grand final. A few years even had public wildcards, where the public would have a say in the shortlisting process, as well as in the semi-final qualification vote. Their system stabilized in 2018, where there would only be a single final made up of shortlisted entries. Every national final from 2008 to 2019 would consist of a 50-50 vote split between the jury and the public, with the votes being turned into the 12-point system used in Eurovision. Before I move on to the 2020s, I do want to look at two entries in particular, which I think are either iconic to the fandom or I think are unique. Of course, there are lots of Moldovan entries that I personally love, including 2009, 2013, and 2017, but these two, which I also love, I think deserve their own moment. Even if you aren't a Eurovision fan, you're probably aware of internet culture, and I'm sure you've heard of the Epic Sex Guy meme. This meme originates from Moldova's 2010 entry Runaway by the Sunstroke Project and Olia Tira. This is one of Eurovision's most iconic moments. I personally don't get a lot of internet culture and memes in general, but I understand why this gained so much popularity for a time. The saxophone sound in this entry is absolute perfection and well recognized. The saxophone portion of this song stands out, and oftentimes the rest of the song is completely ignored. There are literal 10-hour loops of just the saxophone portion available on YouTube, including most recently by the Eurovision YouTube channel themselves. The original performance video of this entry is Eurovision's 23rd most popular video, sitting at 29,066,011 views as of the recording of this episode. It sits just below Finland's 2023 performance and just above Ukraine's 2004 performance. The music video version is Eurovision's 59th most popular video at 15,040,772 votes, which if you combine the two, places it at 44,106,783 views, which is absolutely incredible. Putting the epic sax guy to the side, this song is fun to listen to. I'd have this on repeat, and it's a great party song. It fits well with the time, and this is the kind of music I grew up with in high school, so I have a soft spot for it. It's still beloved in the Eurovision fandom, and their return in 2017 gave them greater success, placing them third with an equally catchy song with much better staging that helped to tell the story of the song better than a random collection of instrument players and a lady with blue makeup on her face. Don't get me wrong, I love their 2010 song, but the staging was just messy and incoherent. Moldova's 2018 entry is another one that I want to mention due to its creative staging, which, in my opinion, is one of the most innovative designs I've seen in modern Eurovision. Here's a sample of My Lucky Day by Doredos.
So is this my lucky day?
If you aren't aware of the 2018 contest, this is the year that the contest was held in Portugal, and the broadcaster went with the bold idea of not having an LED screen as part of the stage design. It was definitely a throwback to early contests, which didn't have an LED screen, and countries were forced to come up with their own unique designs to showcase their entries, rather than relying on the backing screen to do the work for them. Some countries like Sweden, Germany, and Malta brought their own backing wall systems, but the rest relied on props and colored lighting from the stripped wall. Moldova's staging was the most impressive for me, taking what they used in the national final and amping it up dramatically. Dorados had a large cabinet-style box with three compartments, each with three doors that opened and closed, showing off body doubles, which danced and acted out a scene where the two male singers were enamored with the female singer. You would see the singers stepping horizontally as they were held up behind portions of the closed doors, and you would see hands grabbing torsos, legs dancing along to the song, and even sneaks of the body double switching places. The amount of logistical planning and coordination to pull off such a technically difficult performance, I think, is understated in its result in Lisbon. To coordinate such precise movements, opening doors at the right time, performing to the right dance moves, and still having the emotional expressions to tell the story without simply being out of breath with all the running around and position shifts, I simply commend Moldova's efforts in 2018. I attended the contest in Lisbon, watching the grand final jury show, and their performance in the arena was spectacular. Well coordinated, and even from a far distance, their distinct costumes, which mirrored the Moldovan flag, was stunning and easy to spot. Well done to them in Lisbon. I encourage you to check out Moldova's performance in 2018 so you can see the visuals and see what I'm talking about. As we move out of the 2010s into the 2020s, we all know what's going to happen. The world comes to a halt, as disease spreads around the world and cancels Eurovision for the first and to date only time. Moldova managed to put on a national final for 2020, but they changed the name to Finala Națională 2020, and I have no idea why they changed the name, as they used the same system as the previous year, shortlisting the entries and using a 50-50 voting system. Of course, with the contest cancelled in 2020, we move to 2021, where Moldova does, in my opinion, the correct thing, and resends Natalia Gordienko. This time she goes with the song Sugar, and Natalia gives us yet another internet meme for us to love and enjoy. Here's a sample of Sugar with the meme moment for you to experience. That particular version was sung in the semi-final, and is one of the cliché moments of Eurovision which fans always have on their bingo cards. When the artist shouts, "Europe," or the name of the host city, it's an iconic moment that everyone looks forward to. Natalia repeats shouting "Europe" in the grand final jury show, however in the televised final she doesn't do that, and the portion of viewers that only tune into the grand final missed out on that little moment, so I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. The song itself is one of the songs that I can turn my brain off and simply dance to. It has a great beat. I love this song and the performance was pretty decent. Comparing it to her 2006 entry, this is better by leaps and bounds. Comparing it to her potential 2020 entry is a bit more difficult, as I don't know how it would have sounded live, but her 2020 entry had a completely different vibe to this, and I think I probably would have enjoyed it, just not as much as her 2021 entry. Moldova continued with an internal selection for 2022, blaming the pandemic for not being able to hold a proper national final, which I'm kind of skeptical about. I don't know what restrictions the Moldovan government had on the country, but surely people could still watch at home and vote from home? You don't necessarily need an audience live in-house to put on a national final. Weirdly enough, they gave this internal selection a name, Selecția Națională 2022, and they televised the live audition round, which I guess is better than closed doors, but I question their lack of willingness to have a public input. But that ultimately doesn't matter, because the jury ended up selecting Zdob si Zdob to represent them a third time, joined by the Advahov brothers with the song Trenetol.
Let's go!
I love trains. Specifically, I love riding trains. I have no idea about train engines or locomotives, but what I do know is that large parts of Europe have extensive train networks, which makes the Canadian train network, and by extension the United States, a complete joke. London to Paris, traveling 470 kilometers in 2.5 hours? Done. Easy. No problem. Toronto to Ottawa, which is 70 kilometers closer in 2.5 hours? Oh, dream on. More like 4.5 to 5 hours, and that's if you aren't delayed by cargo traffic that gets the right of way. This song celebrates the train and the connections it brings to people across Europe, specifically between the capitals of Romania and Moldova, which had their train route reopened. This song is comedic with a deeper meaning of celebration. I love this entry and still listen to it regularly. We come to their latest Eurovision performance in 2023. Moldova returns to the national final format with another new name, Etapa Națională 2023, using the same shortlisting and 50-50 system as before. Moldova ended up choosing Pasha Parfeni with the song Soarele și Luna. This song feels very tribal, instinctual, and spiritual. The visual performance brings the song to life, and I enjoyed the elements of the performance which enhanced the song. This feels more developed compared to Pasha's 2012 performance, and it's overall a better developed package. It's perfectly paired together, and the quality of the song is great. I enjoyed this performance, and I'm glad that it made it to the grand final. It brought an instinctual element to the contest that I don't get to see very often, letting emotion and superstition roam free on the stage, producing a duality that is normally internalized, and bringing it out onto the stage for people to see and even relate to, depending on how they let the mood affect them. This brings us to 2024. Of course, I'll save my reaction to this year's Moldovan entry for my special episode series coming up in April, which I'll talk more about in 2 weeks' time. I will hint that I'm not overly impressed with their entry this year, and some fans seem to agree with me, but we'll leave that for another time. Looking at the voting system used between 1975 and 2015, when Moldova was in the grand final, an interesting story emerges. Every year that Moldova was in the grand final from 2005 to 2013, they were given 12 points from Romania, except in 2010, where they got 10 points. This makes some sense given the relations between Moldova and Romania. However, if we look beyond 2015, something happens, and the love between Moldova and Romania is broken. In 2016, they revamped the voting system to split the jury and the televote into two separate sets of points. Romania withdraws in 2016, but upon their return in 2017, Romania's jury only gave Moldova 8 points, while the televote gave 12. In 2018, Romania's televote once again gave them 12 points, but the jury only gave them 7. 2019 rolls around, and Moldova doesn't qualify, but they do get 12 points from both the jury and the televote in the semifinal. In 2021, the televote stayed loyal to Moldova and gave them 12 points, but the Romanian jury continued to be lured away, giving only 6 points. Then things get really wild when the Romanian jury completely blanks Moldova in the final, with only Romania's televote continuing to give 12 points. This is completely shocking to me, as fans continually complain about biased and neighbor voting, yet the jury slowly slips away starting in 2017, going from 8 to 7 to 6 points, then just dropping off altogether. Romania withdrew in 2024, so there won't be a Romanian vote this year, so we'll have to wait and see if the jury's love is rekindled by some distance. Going back to the 2005 to 2013 results, Romania gave a total of 94 points out of a possible 96, followed by Portugal with 52 points given and Ukraine in third giving 49. Russia and Belarus are 5th and 6th respectively, which ultimately doesn't surprise me. The top 5 point givers to Moldova are their neighbors or USSR countries and Portugal, thrown in for good measure. Looking at the points Moldova gave in the grand final, the love for Romania is reciprocated, giving 12 points every year from 2006 to 2015, except for 2013 when they gave Romania 10 points. and in 2005, they only gave Romania 7 points. Moldova continued to love Romania, giving a double 12 points in 2017, double points in 2018 and 2019 in the semifinal, as Romania didn't qualify to the final, and Romania was in a separate semifinal in 2021 and 2023 and failed to qualify in both those years. Moldova was apparently sick of being in a one-sided relationship in 2022, and the Moldovan jury completely blanked Romania, and the public only gave 10 points. Talk about drama. Romania withdrew after 2023, so we'll have to wait and see if their love returns one day. Getting back to the 2005 to 2015 votes, Moldova gave the most points to Romania, giving 125 points, followed by Russia with 90 points and Ukraine with 80. Azerbaijan, Sweden, Georgia, and Belarus are 4th to 7th in that list, and given the amount of former USSR representation in that list, that doesn't surprise me. Moldova also gave an average of 6.45 points to the winning entry in Eurovision, which makes some sense considering the apparent tastes they have, preferring their neighbors and former USSR countries. And that is the story of Moldova at Eurovision. Moldova has gone through so many political changes over its history, and from my perspective, it seems to struggle to personify its own identity. But perhaps they're moving away from loving Romania at Eurovision is a sign of that. Again, I'm not Moldovan and I'm not an expert on Moldovan culture, so take my opinions and perspectives with a grain of salt. Moldova has had decent success at the contest and is forever known as the country that brought the epic sax guy, which is a decent legacy to own. As we draw closer to Eurovision 2024, the Swedish broadcaster reveals more details of the show to fans, and there have been some pretty big developments. To learn more, let's turn ourselves to the Eurovision report. Hello and welcome to the Eurovision Report, the news segment where Eurovision's top stories are reported on. Here are the headlines. Swedish broadcaster SVT has announced changes to the Eurovision Song Contest format for 2024. The auto-qualifying Big Five, consisting of the United Kingdom, France, Spain, Germany, and Italy, along with the host country Sweden, will be performing their entries live in the semifinals as full previews of their grand final performances. They will perform in their allotted semifinal, performing in between the countries that are competing in the semifinal. Executive producer Ebba Adelson gave the following statement. "We think that this change gives the Big Five countries and the host country a fairer playing field in the grand final, as they now have the opportunity to perform for real on stage in the semifinals. It is also a win for both the audience in the arena and the viewers at home, in that they get to see all the acts competing this year live before the grand final. In addition to the Big Five and host country performing in the semifinals, this year's contest will also be extending the voting period in the grand final, returning to the system used in 2010 and 2011, where viewers can vote as the songs are performed, rather than waiting for all the entries to have been performed. There is also an extra addition for those who are voting from non-participating countries. Fans who reside outside of the participating countries now have 24 hours to cast their votes to be included in the rest of the world vote." The executive producer celebrated the move, which allows fans from any time zone to vote without needing to wake up early in the morning to participate. This is reported by the European Broadcasting Union on Eurovision.tv. In fashion-related news, the Eurovision merch shop has released their lineup for 2024. Many classic staples have returned for this year's edition of the contest, including t-shirts, posters, buttons, magnets, and coasters. New in this year's lineup is a denim bucket hat, styled after the Ukrainian entry from 2022 and their use of a bucket hat in their winning performance, and designs across the merchandise utilize the Northern Lights pattern design, boasting bright neon colors reminiscent of the 1980s. On a personal level, these designs are very bright, and while some fans appreciate the colors and bright symbolism behind the design, this is the first year that I actively dislike the design and patterns for this year's contest. I usually enjoy picking up the posters, but this year's posters are more like frame gradient artwork rather than actual Eurovision posters, and I don't plan on buying them this year. However, you may feel different and may end up loving the design. I am not sponsored to advertise the Eurovision shop, but I encourage you to check it out anyway. I have merch that I use on a regular basis, including the lanyard and heart pins. You can visit shop.eurovision.tv to check out their lineup of merchandise. This has been the Eurovision Report. Before we close today's episode, it's time for Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I share a Eurovision entry that I absolutely love, or maybe it's horrible. Perhaps I can't stop listening to it, or maybe it's entirely forgettable. Because it's a Eurovision travel guide episode, I've gone ahead and picked an entry from Moldova. So let's find out which entry gets Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the 2010 Moldovan entry Runaway, sung by the Sunstroke Project and Olia Tira. Composer Anton Ragosa and Sergei Stepanov, lyricist Alina Galetskaya. It placed 22nd, getting 27 points. It got 10 points from Romania, 6 points from Azerbaijan and Portugal, 4 points from Belarus, and 1 point from Georgia. From what this song is known for, this song got way too little points. This, to me, is easily top 10 material, and the epic sax guy alone is top 5 material. I understand why the song is ranked so low, and it was because of the poor staging and the lack of coordination between the meaning of the song and what was presented on stage. It felt like a mashup of nonsense mixed in with the charismatic instrument players. However, the song itself is catchy, and it's a great party song. Runaway gets Song of the Week purely for the epic sax guy, one of Eurovision's most iconic moments in the 21st century. I didn't know much about Moldova outside of Eurovision, and I still don't know much about it outside its political history. What I have learned is fascinating, and while I didn't get to find out why Moldova waited so long to join Eurovision, I am glad they have been a part of it every year since their debut. Despite not every single entry being amazing and perfect, Moldova's selection of songs have some real gems in there, and I hope to see more of Moldova in Eurovision, and I'll be definitely watching them. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch with your thoughts or comments, you can reach out to our Instagram page at ESC101podcast. You can also send us an email, ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you haven't already done so, please consider leaving a review as it helps make the podcast more visible to Eurovision fans like yourself. Next week, we're going to be exploring the life of a Eurovision host, so stay tuned to find out who we'll be covering next. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.